Blog Talk Good evening. Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to tonight's live Meet Me podcast on the Mancini Network. I'm Eli Racovich.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Anything new down there?
Pardon?
Got some stuff going on in Indy here.
Tell us about that.
Well, we're going to host the NBA All-Star Game.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, Indiana high school basketball is literally, I think, the best high school basketball in the country. So it's kind of nice to have the NBA All-Star Game here. Maybe the NBA guys can learn how to not travel and to pass and play defense. I don't know. I digress.
That'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah, we're really going all out for it. Even put a basketball court in the airport just for the game. When you walk in the concourse out there, there's a full-size basketball court.
So it's like a welcome to Indianapolis basketball court?
Yep.
Or they're not actually going to play there, right?
The state, and they'll play downtown the field house. The state is basketball crazy. West Virginia. You could play when I was growing up and in school down there. You could play in school sports. You could play other sports and be really good, and you could be on a really good team. But it didn't matter if you didn't play football. Here it's kind of the other way around. You know, if you're a mediocre player on a good basketball team here, you're still a hero in your small town.
Yeah.
Tom from Carson City says he's teasing about Indiana college basketball. Well, IU is a mere shadow of what it used to be. But we've got this other team that's pretty good here. It's called Purdue, and I think we can beat anybody. Pretty much have. Except for 16th seeds in the tournament last year. How embarrassing. Hey, Peggy, I hear there's going to be a football game this weekend.
I'm not so up on it as you are, but, yeah, isn't there a football game between the Chiefs and fill me in
Niners.
On it. You know more about it than I do.
49ers. Well, it sounds like I know just a bit more than you, but I don't pay a whole lot of attention. I can say if my three teams aren't playing, I used to watch every game, Peg, and I'm just so disillusioned, not with the players. I mean – get what you can get, but just how these teams hold cities hostages now, like especially here in Indianapolis where I'll be kind, just say I've seen one sports team owner here commit a lot of crimes, and, I was prohibited from doing anything about it. So I'll leave it at that. And then that person holds the city hostage for millions and millions when they're a billionaire. It doesn't take much to figure out which one it is. I'm just sick of that kind of stuff. I'm just sick of it.
Seems like that kind of permeates a lot of stuff right now. There's always
it is. I mean, and TV runs the NFL now. I mean, the owners and they run the league, but TV runs it. They tell it when you're going to have games. When you can reschedule, I mean, it's just out of control. It truly is. Now, Ross from California says that cheapest ticket to the Super Bowl right now is $8,000.
Wow. What did I hear about? Something about the charges for the food and everything are going to be so crazy. To get in is crazy. And it's amazing that people have this kind of disposable income to me, but
I may be wrong, but because sometimes I have some crazy thoughts ever since I've had the stroke. Didn't Ray say once he's been to a buttload of Super Bowls? For some reason I'm thinking Ray said he's been to several Super Bowls. If him and John ever get out of jail, they can join us and tell us all about it. No, I think John's serving time out there with Sheriff Jost. He's probably getting taken pretty good care of since he used to work for him.
Yeah, I bet.
He probably got John in one of the suite cells. Gets his own cable TV, his own choice of hot dogs.
Yeah, he's got an inside lane.
You know how your boy here loves hot dogs, needs hot dogs all the time. I've got a new hot dog recipe that I like.
Oh, what's that?
Well, I doubt if you'll like it, but, man, I thought it was pretty good. My hot dog buns got moldy. So I'm like, being a hillbilly, I could certainly eat them on white bread. But I decided to try something different. We're gonna smash some cultures together here, Peg. I took a Hebrew National hot dogs, blackened them a little bit in my iron skillet. I didn't want to boil them, and I didn't want to microwave them for sure. So I cooked them on my little iron skillet, put them in hard taco shells. On top of that, I poured my meat sauce on top of there, my Coney sauce, then onion, a little bit of lettuce, treated just like a taco, onion, lettuce, cheese, it was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good because the warm hot dog and the Coney sauce softened, but it was just made the pliable. So, man, you could really cram them bad boys in there. They were good.
Yeah, I bet you that would work. You know, like sausages, it'd probably be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
How do you make your hot dogs? Do you boil them or grill them or fry them, or how do you do it?
I like to do mine in an iron skillet because it can get just that little bit of cooking on the outside, you know, and it won't stick to that iron skillet if it's prepped correctly. I think it's superior to boiling them because I like them cooked a little bit on the outside.
Yeah, I like them crispy. I don't like them boiled either.
Oh, yeah.
Ray told us that those awful stories about the water that they're boiled in New York. It just sounded disgusting. Ugh.
Yeah, we have crappy water here in Speedway. Good Lord. We're right at the threshold of mutating, I think, and the creatures, our water's so bad. My little dog, Beulah, is driving me crazy tonight. The night before, you know, she's 15 and a half. And a couple nights ago, she gets up in the middle of the night and just runs up and down. I live in what they call a shotgun house. You know, it's a long, narrow house. Down the hall, we have wood floors, so it's, you know, click, 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 click with her little tiny toenails. And she runs up and down the hall for like 10 minutes in the middle of the night, won't come to bed. And I don't know. Maybe she's getting a little senile. Right now, she's walking around in a circle and won't stop, so I'm going to get her down. Little thing. I'm always worried. She only weighs 10 pounds. She's tiny. She's cute as fuck, though. How's your doggy?
She's a cutie. Well, Sydney's laying here beside me with her head on her pillow and her giant bone. We decided she goes through so many bones that we got her this bone that's like about the size of a baseball bat. It's huge. Been nibbling away at it, which has been a good idea because she likes to chew on things, and she's savoring it, and it's lasted over a week, which is a good thing with her. She's quite a character.
We don't have much to chew on here. Old dogs, and her baby is Hank, the dorgy. Half dachshund, half corgi. He's 8. Beulah's 15.
That's a combination.
He looks like a dachshund with little ears, but he's got his hair's a little furrier than a dachshund, but not much. I mean, if you look at him, you just think he's a dachshund. He's a cool dog. And Beulah is a Chiweenie. She's half dachshund, half chihuahua, all 10 pounds of her. Her ears are like Mr. Burchill's hat and flying nun. They look like that. They just flop down at the top. When she runs, they bounce. and she never walks. I seldom seen her walk. She runs everywhere, even at 15 and a half. She's a crazy wild dog.
That's great.
Then I've got a little terrier, Libby, who sleeps literally 22-plus hours a day. But she's 15 and a half also, which is ancient for a bull terrier. And I've got Savannah, who's the 65-pound Basset Hound, smartest dog I've ever owned. And she's a really good girl. I'm going to call her out. She's a food whore. If there's any unattended food in the kitchen, on the dining room table, on a snack table, or in the trash can, Savannah's on it.
Yes, she'll pretty much eat anything except she hates French fries. And she loves pizza.
Oh, wow.
She just loves pizza.
Yeah.
She's so funny. She'll get a piece of pizza. She'll first remove the pepperoni and eat that. And then she saves it and stores it and hides it somewhere.
Okay.
So nobody else can get it. And then she...
You remember
she
Gracie
actually,
the wiener dog, don't you?
Oh, yeah, Gracie.
That was Gracie's favorite food. The week she died, she had stopped eating, and I could not get her to eat or drink anything. But she loved Little Caesar's thin pepperoni pizza. So I went and got one of those specifically, and I set it down on the, put something under it so it wouldn't soak through on my couch. Put it down beside her on the, put her on one side of the box, me on the other, and I told her, go. I say go to have her eat. And she actually ate pizza. The last thing she ever ate was her favorite food, so that was good.
Yeah, Sid will do anything for pizza. She loves it. Funny that you wouldn't think that would be such a favorite, but it is. And she's gotten.
Can you give your dog's middle name?
Well, we have nicknames. Her nickname is Ziti, like Sydney Ziti. You know, the pasta. And one of our dogs was originally named Chloe and became Pocket Pooch.
Oh, and I give all my dogs middle names.
Do you? Grace.
Oh, yeah.
What was Gracie's middle name?
Lee, L-E-E, and her little compadre, Sandy D, S-A-N-D-I, with D-E-E. Beulah. Middle name is May, M-A-Y-E. Libby's is Marie. At least hers is normal. Savannah is Louise, but I call her Wheezy, and she answers to Wheezy. So she reminds me of Miss Jefferson a little bit. And Hank's name is Hank Aaron, but we spell it A-R-R-O-N.
Oh, well, then he doesn't get confused as long as you spell it right, right?
Yeah, that's right. And if anybody asks me, I'll say, nah, our Hank's a lefty like me. Did you know I was left-handed?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's another thing that makes me an oddball, huh?
Well, I guess you have an incredible number of talents, for sure, from being a chef to being a cop to being a negotiator to being a football player. There's just about anything you can do, and your wife is amazing, too. It's incredible. You guys must be quite a pair.
My wife is amazing. She's putting a new, we're going to sell my little shotgun house here at Speedway because of her job. It's in the next county. Works for businesses in the next county up on the northern end of that county. I live on the southwest side of the county we live in. So it's a 45-minute trip for just to get up there. So, it adds an hour and a half to our work day. So we're going to move back up to her house in Carmel, Indiana, which is in the county north of us. I refer to it as the Beverly Hills of Indiana. It's one of the most affluent. It is the most affluent area in Indiana. And it's usually comes in the top 10 in about everything in small cities in the United States. Wonderful little town. But I'm a hillbilly, so I'm curious to see how I fit in full time up there. Yeah,
oh, you're
statute of limitations is over. So, yes, I did live with her up in Hamilton County before we got married. And, yes, I did wasn't supposed to because I drove an Indianapolis police car. But I kept my residence here, obviously.
Well, that's a typical image of yours.
Just like 5 or 6 nights, you know?
Well, everybody feels safer when there's a police car around, if you're in the right neighborhood, I guess.
Well, I live on the west side of Indianapolis, I told her the biggest difference driving my police car around, because I didn't drive it much off duty. When I wasn't working, I didn't care about the police. I'm not the police. I'm me. When I did drive it around up there, she asked me what the difference was. I said, well, when they wave at you in Carmel, they use all their fingers. And where I live, they only use one finger.
Wow. I was trying to think
she's going to entice me up there. She's building a five-car garage and putting a mechanical lift in so I can work on my GPI.
How did you two find each other? It's amazing.
Believe it or not, Facebook. I was in pretty good shape till this year, last year late when I got this hip and back issue I've got that surgery for. But I had tried, I was 60-some years old, divorced, and I was dating some girls, but I just wasn't finding anybody that I was really crazy about. And I'm in my late 60s now. I was still real active. I was attached to SWAT. I was a rifle guy on the sheriff's department. I hunted. I fished. I bicycled. Camped. Rode horses. I was always doing something. I lifted weights 4 days a week. But all the women my age, I swear to God, Peg, they all acted like they were dead. Didn't want to go anywhere. Everything. They're like, oh, my knee hurts. My hip hurts. I'm like, well, I've got, artificial knees and artificial hips. Played football for 30 years. I want to hear your crap. I was really disillusioned. So I started dating women who were younger than me, late 30s, early 40s. And the problem I got in there after dating them for a while, it was, hey, can you get me this? Can you loan me that? And I'm like, no, you're an adult. You should have your own shit. So I was really despondent. So I tell my girls, I said, God, I just can't find anybody to date. I'm just going to just become a hermit. I'm like, oh, Dad, try some online dating. I'm like, no, yuck. I'm a grumpy old fart. So they talked me into it, and I put together a pretty nice profile. So I put it out there, and I got quite a few hits, and I would go out with these ladies, and most of them were pretty nice. I just wasn't wanting to be serious or anything. And and Chris had just died, so, that was in the back of my mind. And so if somebody really liked you on Facebook dating back then, you got this little sparkle thing from them. I'm flipping through one day, and I see this one girl. I thought she was really cute. I read her biography. I thought, oh, my God, this lady's perfect for me. And I get down the bottom because I swore I wasn't going to date any more younger women. I looked at the age, and I thought, oh. So I just swiped on by her, figuring I'm not going to waste my time. About 3 days later, I got one of those sparkle things, so I was pretty excited. So I clicked it. It was her. I'm like, yeah. So we hit it off, and we met for drinks and dinner. And she was supposed to leave at 5:30 the next morning to go to a wedding, her daughter's wedding out in Oregon. But we still stayed out. Our dinner was at 6:30, and we stayed out till after midnight. And she came back the 11th. We stayed in touch while she was out there. She came back the 11th. I picked her up at the airport at midnight, and had her flowers and really nice chocolates and stuff. Made a good impression on her. But the sparkle thing story, while we're sitting there talking on our first meeting, I tell her, I said, yeah, I saw you, went past you because of your age, blah, 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 blah. I said, then I got that sparkle, and I was all excited. She goes, well, I got something to tell you. I'm thinking, what? She goes, that was an accident. I didn't mean to do that. Hey, Peg. We have 246 listeners online right now. I want to thank each and every one of them. And you don't know how we appreciate that, because it really gets us excited, and we really get it into the show as the listenership increases. And I'm sure Mr. Mancini gets excited when he sees good numbers, too.
I bet. So are you going to have a Super Bowl party at your
house?
No,
Peggy, I'm not going to watch a second of it.
You're not? I was just looking up Super Bowl snacks, thinking since this is a food show, maybe we should talk a little bit about that. But
well, we can talk about them. We don't even talk about them. I just won't be – I still eat them. I'm just not going to watch the game. We're probably going to go see a movie.
Wow, 246 listeners. I can't wait till we get some messages from them. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the most excitement
I
have. Pardon?
After you tell me your story here, I want to hear about those snacks. You know I love talking about food.
Okay. Well, I actually was in my backyard with my dog, and I all of a sudden I heard this pop, 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 pop. And I thought, oh, my God, is that a gun? What is that? And I looked all over, and then I looked up in the trees, and sparks were flying all over the place. And so I tried to call our FPL, the power and light company, and I couldn't find a number to get through to them, so I finally just called 911 because I thought, this whole thing, there's a lot of trees around here, and it could go up in flames really easy. And they just came right out, and the 911 people were just amazing. There were police people there in a few minutes, and the fire people showed up right afterward, and they took care of FPL, and we got our power back. But that was more excitement than I had for a while.
I've been watching the weather out there in L.A. where Mark's at, and the flooding's crazy.
Oh, it looks awful. Oh. And it looks like it's such a broad area. I mean, just from looking at the weather map, it's not concentrated in one area. They say it's like a stream that's just going down and coming across, and the whole state is in trouble. Oh, we have a message. Did you see that? Jim from Alpharetta, Georgia says, sad to see the country falling by the wayside. We need new leaders that care. Well, I agree with you, Jim. I think that's a good point.
Jim, you are 100% correct.
I don't understand why we're not getting any choices.
We don't have term limits, and everyone buys their way into office.
And they just sit and argue with each other. They completely forget about people they serve.
Nothing gets done.
No,
it's like
horrible.
Everyone's got that aunt and uncle in the family that comes to the family get-togethers, and they're going to argue and be hateful to each other the whole time and make everyone else miserable. That's what I think of when I look at Congress. I'm like, oh, that's Uncle Jim and Aunt Pam.
Yeah.
Nothing is getting done.
No, and all they do is just fight. I mean, I think they've completely forgotten the American people. It just drives me crazy. If somebody does come up with a good solution, they're gonna argue it down and nothing will happen, and they'll be in the next session of Congress and nothing will happen. It's crazy.
And another thing I'd like to see happen, besides term limits, I would like to see, I'm in my late 60s. I would like to see age limits in Congress for the president, for the House, for senators. There's no reason anybody 71 should be in or above 71 or above should be in those positions. The line of work I was in, we have to retire before our 71st birthday. And I don't have problem with that. I don't have problem with that with Congress either, in the presidency. We need young people. We need young ideas.
Exactly. I'm afraid that the people won't even vote because they don't feel represented, which is really a travesty that there aren't any young people. Instead of these, I mean, honestly, 77 and 82 or whatever are just too old, I think. Regardless of your ideology. I mean, it's just crazy.
Absolutely.
And Kenny from Peoria, Arizona, agrees. He says, that guy is right on. All farts that need to be in the assisted living headquarters. Is that where John is these days? Ha ha. And we're up to 289 listeners. So we got to spice it up and get more listeners.
That's That's right. Now, see, I want to put 6-year terms in Congress, for in the House and the Senate, but we have an election every 3 years, or every 2 years, I'm sorry. Or I could live with three, but so it's half the Congress gets replaced every 3 years, and half the House gets replaced every 3 years. That way you still have some veterans in there that know what's going on that can assist the incoming reps and senators. But this, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to turn this into a political battleground. But on both parties, both major parties, there's people in their 80s, late 80s, that sit there and sleep through sessions, and then they vote on something. Well, they can vote because they've already made their mind up who stuffed the most money in their pocket.
Yeah, or else they just vote straight party. It's like you're more loyal to your party than you are to your constituents. It's
you know my political leanings, but I say this frequently. I've never voted a straight ticket in my life. And people say, I said, well, I do that because I have 3 digits in my IQ.
Yeah, I agree with you. You have to vote
walk
for the
in there
person.
Pull a lever. Just walk in there and pull a lever. I'm going to call you stupid or you're uncaring. That brings me another thing. I don't vote. It doesn't make any difference. I'm like, well, that's exactly why you can make a difference. If you don't vote, I don't want to hear a word you have to say about politics because you don't care enough to vote.
And sadly to say, there are a fair number of people who just feel like they have no power and why bother to vote, which is it's really a travesty. I don't understand.
Why people need to get organized and create some voting blocks because they do work.
Mhm. And I think there needs to be some guidance with the parties too. I think right now it seems almost like they just control everybody who's going to be even nominated so much that they're not giving us any choices. I mean, I just feel like we've been kind of betrayed by the party, two-party system. Or if we could at least get some people who are more middle of the road, you know. But
we're talking about a banana
republic here. Pardon?
No, I like bananas, so that part would be okay.
Yeah, bananas.
Speaking of,
we gotta keep it in the food.
Overreaching government and double crossing by politicians. You know, Peg, I told you and the audience that my mom was half-blood Shawnee. Well, today is the passing of one of the crappiest piece of legislation, double dirty tricks that's ever been pulled on our Native Americans. Today is the day that President Grover Cleveland signed the Dawes Act into effect. Basically, it was done under the pretense of prior to the Dawes Act, Indians, because that's what my grandma, my mom called themselves. So if I offend someone, I apologize in advance. It's just what we've always called ourselves. Tribal lands, reservations, were communal. The Dawes Act split it up into lots and assigned so many acres to a male adult single.
Uh-huh.
And then you had a second allotment that was for married, and you had a small allotment for teens and young. It sounds good. You have your own land, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, the other part of it was any land that wasn't assigned to one of those people, guess who got it? Federal government. So it also required the governments and tribal courts and any communal lands to be abolished. It's basically another land rush, land grab.
There's been so much exploitation of Native Americans and of any minority, really. There's always a double sword to it. You know, yeah. I have like
my thing on the natives is just quit lying to them. You know, just come out and tell us what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yep. It's really sad, and it's hard to see. I used to work at the University of Minnesota, the Morris campus, and that was originally, back before it became a university campus, it was an Indian school. And so it had all the bad things and some of the good things about that whole education thing. But it was really sad to see what happened to the reservations around there and how much violence there was and how hopeless people felt. And it destroys their spirit. I don't know. Some people probably thought that they were doing the right thing because they consider the anything that isn't, you know, from Europe or Caucasian always is some lower life form or something, heathens that need to be saved or something. I don't know. I just wish that would change. I thought it had changed, but it seems like it keeps coming back.
Here's another crazy thing about the dogs that we're wanting to get, more white influence into the reservations. If you were full blood, you got a smaller parcel deeded to you than if you were mixed blood like my mom.
Oh, you're kidding. That's even worse.
No.
Like, the more you're like us, the more land we'll give you.
Absolutely. I think I've mentioned before that my grandpa was one of the Indian school kids.
Mm-hmm. And what was his experience like?
You know, I was too young when he died to really get into it. He never talked much about it. Only thing I ever remember about him was when I was a little tiny kid, I didn't quite understand because everywhere we'd go, people would call him. I'd go with my grandpa. He was really a cool grandpa. Everyone would call him Chief. I never understood why. And finally, one day, it was explained to me, well, we're Indians. I'm like, oh. my Serb grandparents and my dad, I never thought anything weird about, we used the old school calendar and, had holidays on the old calendar, so I never thought anything weird about it till I got older and realized, hey, we don't do Christmas on the same day. And I couldn't understand why, because my mom's side, both parents, even though one mom was her mom was from Ireland, they were all Catholics, so we always had, I couldn't understand why we had two Christmases, two Easters, blah, 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 blah. I kind of liked it because I got stuff at Christmas on both of them. So I was telling my kids about that. Yeah, how it was kind of cool, and they were like, Dad, are we going to have two Christmases? I'm like, no, we're not. You guys are going to be on the new calendar because none of you are Orthodox like me.
Unless you change,
I could have recruited some more Orthodox. I just do it.
It's Orthodox Christian, your church?
Orthodox Christians, Eastern Orthodox. Mm-hmm. We live in a place that a lot of our religion used to be based in a place called Constantinople. A lot of people erroneously call it Istanbul now. I don't recognize Istanbul. Sorry. Well, I can never visit Turkey because I'll be in a fight in 5 minutes.
Well, it's an interesting combination to have that.
It is. But, I tell people, I've got a weird ethnic mix. Like my mom, her mother's from Ireland, and there's a lot of redheads in that branch. And her dad was dark and real tall with long dark hair. And so I got the Shawnee thing going on, and the Irish on mom's side, and you know, all of them fairly recent immigrants, except for obviously the Shawnee. And then my dad's side, you know, all Serbian immigrants. So I got that. I got a weird ethnic mix.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I look kind of weird too. You know, I've got really straight hair, but it's kind of fine, but it's really thick. I've got a lot of people would say the woodland Indian nose, but I got the big Irish chin, and I've got really bright blue eyes. And I'm the only one of my I have three siblings, brother and two sisters. They all have black or dark brown eyes, except me. You know, I always tell my mom, it's a good thing I look kind of like my dad.
Yeah.
And I did get the nice olive skin from the Serbs, so.
And the Serbian part, when did they come to the United States?
In the 30s, between the wars.
Yeah.
Grandpa was already here. World War One started. He went back, fought in World War One with Serbia. Then he saw what was happening in Germany and said, hey, we're going to book.
Good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Worked out great. Here's a little sports thing for you, Peg. We'll throw some sports in here since Mark likes sports.
Yes, we need to do that.
I am related to Pistol Pete Maravich.
Cool. How are you related?
All-time leading coach. Comes through my dad's mom. I don't know. I don't know all about that second, third, fourth cousin crap. But yeah, she was related to Press Maravich, which was Pete's dad. So I do remember playing horse with him. Like some of us were playing horse, and he was a little bit older than me. I had some other tall cousins, but man, even like at 12, he was crazy good. I mean, he just destroyed us all at horse. I always wanted to beat him at horse, and it wasn't even I couldn't even compete.
So were your parents real athletic too? Does that athleticism
kind of? My dad wasn't. My dad was a good hunter and outdoorsman. They didn't care for sports, and my mom, you know, just women didn't have a lot of opportunities back then, Peg. But now her three brothers were all outstanding. Her oldest brother, who was still active in the field, Green Beret, when he was 49 years old. Tell you what kind of stud he was. He got drafted by the Cleveland Browns, but didn't go. They made so little money back then, he went and joined the Army.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope. And both of the other two brothers were a good athletes, also multi-sport athletes. So, hey, we're up to 355 listeners. We want to thank them, everyone, for tuning in to our madness.
Awesome.
Appreciate them all. And, you know, while we got a little thing here, some of you guys and gals, certainly, especially the gals, contact me. Look me up on Facebook. It's Max Raisovich, Raisovich. Shoot me a message. Just put something in there about eat me, and I'll get back to you. You can ask me anything. I may not answer you, but you can ask me anything. But I won't give you a run-on sentence that means nothing like a politician.
Oh, that must be a storm coming in. Is that from Mark?
I was going to say, sounds like Ray.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's me. The rain has subsided out here in Los Angeles a little, and I know we were talking in the pre-chat about how I felt like I lived in Noah's Ark. Get in the ark, bring the animals, man. The floods are coming. 4 days of it, and sometimes you get those things. Somebody, and the weather has changed too. 37 degrees out here, not too far from where I'm at. That's a coldest in history, somebody was saying.
Wow,
I bet
with all
jackets?
That wind and rain.
That's
amazing.
Warm weather coat?
Yeah. There's no beanies on the shelves now.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, there's a, there's an opportunity for the people who have extra.
Yeah. We could pawn them on the show. Get a nice sponsor for it. Well, that's amazing when you think of it. I mean, can you imagine 37 degrees? But, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, we'll be asking for this weather come June and July when it's about 100 and something.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys brought up some interesting points with some of these listeners. Let me bring a few more to the forefront. You know, Matt coming out of Spokane, Washington says, guys, keep up the great work. You guys are an acquired taste. Yeah, I agree with you guys with the politicians' terms, get them out. And it's unbelievable. The more they want, the more they get, but they can't fix our cities' potholes or anything. Yeah, that's a big thing out here, too. Yeah, I wonder what these city guys do. I don't want to knock them, you know, but I don't understand what they do in the trucks all day. You know, if you go by a corner, guys, and they move all the lanes into one, if it's three lanes, they'll move everybody into one lane. And then when you pass, you know, the guys, it's like six guys standing around watching the one guy do the work in the hole. I don't understand.
It's like
where our taxpayer money goes. What's going on with this, man?
That sounds like future politicians, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think the big thing in today's society, guys, it's lost is accountability. I think accountability and work ethic are gone. And I think they kind of work hand in hand. Listen, if you've been on the job too long, stop stealing the checks, get the hell off the premises, and do something else with your life. And the other thing with that is the work ethic. You know, they're paying you to work, whether, you know, it's minimum wage or whatever, you signed up for it. So if you didn't want it, you should have never signed up for it. I get a kick out of people that get these jobs and then they start bitching and moaning about it. But you're the one that signed up for it, right? Well, we needed a job.
No.
Well, we had to pay the rent. You had to do this. Well, if you don't like what you're doing, go get out of it. You know, I had a conversation with Tarek today, the first base coach of the Pirates, and we were talking about the people that complain about the ball players making so much money. And I said, you know, these guys always go about, you know, this guy's making millions and all this. Nobody complains about the movie stars making $20 million on a film, but they sure point
Absolutely.
Out the athletes. And I've always said this, guys, if you want to make what they're making, head to Arizona, head to where Peggy is in Florida. I'm not saying sleep at Peggy's. Maybe, you know, sleep on the lawn there. Go to Bradenton. Try out. If you can hit a 150-mile-an-hour fastball or whatever, they'll give you $1 million, $2 million. It's unbelievable.
To me, like, as a mom, when my son was, you know, about five or whenever they get into T-ball, people were already grooming their kids to be professional baseball players here. I mean, the dads would just go berserk over these little kids don't really know what's going on at all, but it seems like a lot of people think that's a ticket out of whatever, you know, that's going to be the opportunity.
It is. And yeah, I coached youth sports. I couldn't do it now because they wouldn't tolerate the way I do things now, because I coached primarily football and soccer. And if you weren't aggressive and didn't knock people on their butt, you weren't going to play. They don't like that anymore in youth sports. But the thing is, like Mark's saying, I would work my kids hard, but I would reward them, brag on them, enjoyed everything about it except dealing with the parents. Oh, my God. I had this one guy. I got stuck with this kid. He was horrible. When you get down toward the end on the draft, you know, it's the kids nobody wants. But you take them and you really work with them. And
maybe
you'll wake something up in that kid. But this kid was the worst kid I ever had in all my years of coaching. I mean, I couldn't do anything with him. So I
took him
out
funny.
Of wide receiver and told him, stay away from the ball. So one day his dad stops me, and dad is just reading me the riot act. You know, I throw to him all the time, and he catches everything. You never throw to him, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you know, he has some catching issues, blah, blah. He has this. And the guy's like, well, he never misses the ball when I throw to him. I said, is he running full blast? And there's the quarterback. Are you just lobbing them to him? Yeah, but this guy thought his kid was going to be great because his kid would stand there and catch it, you know, with, you know, nobody around him, you know, no movement of the ball, not running a pattern. But he was just convinced this kid. And finally, I've just had enough of this guy. And I said, I told him point blank to his face, your kid's the worst football player I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up, and I know this show is going by quick, and we're getting loaded. But it reminds me of the time I was in the hotel business. And, you know, back then you'd be a doorman or something, and you'd greet the guests as they come in, and you'd have to split tips with the valet guys. And I had no problem with it. I remember when I first started, they had me as a valet, and within a week – they moved me up to doorman because the other doorman was stealing toilet paper, so they had to get him out of there. So they said, hey, you got a great personality. You become the doorman. So 11 years later, I was still the doorman. And we had a great night crew. The night crew and the manager were really great, but then once it took me 2 years to get on the day shift. And when I got on the day shift, you had these guys that, you know, that kind of punched the clock and kind of, you know, they – bathroom breaks would go, you know, from, you know, 3 an hour maybe to 6 an hour, and we'd have to split tips. Finally, I went up to one guy, and I said, you know, how long have you been here? And he said, 17 years. I said, don't take this the wrong way, but they probably should have let you go 16 and a half years ago. You know, and the problem with that, guys, is, you know, the way you're brought up, the mindset, you work hard, you get a good check, you go home, you pay your bills, you come back, the same thing. But you get these guys, I call them slackers, and they don't want to work. You can give them $50 an hour, and it still wouldn't motivate them. These are the kind of guys that are bad apples, that are cancers in companies and need to be gone. I don't know what you feel about that, Peggy, or you know, Eli, but that's the problem. You know, that I think what companies need to do is sit down, and not a tongue-in-cheek mentality. They need to really sit down, find out who the hell actually wants to work and who doesn't. Hire people that want to work. Take care of those people, and those people will run through a wall for you. You don't have to worry about all the other stuff.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that they need incentives, but I think part of what is making people not care so much is that the CEOs are making such a huge, huge percentage more than any of the workers do. So it's really like there's no middle class left, really, because it all the money's going up instead of coming back down, and the workers aren't paid enough. Well, it depends on where you are, I guess, but they're not paid enough to keep a roof over their heads. You know, somebody's working three jobs, McDonald's and Wendy's and whatever.
Yeah.
And
well,
to support a family.
No fret on that front. I mean, a fast food worker is going to start to make $20 an hour out here starting in April. So, I mean, you know, but then they'll probably get cut back. You know, an 8-hour shift might look like five. So, but at the same time, I think what you want to do, and now we're getting some comments. Let me bring Mel in. Mel's coming in from Warren, Ohio. Says, guys, make yourself valuable on a job so they can't get rid of you. Do 4 or 5 things. He's absolutely right, and that's the key to everything, too, these days, is have a lot of things going. But loves the show. Says, keep up the great work. I love the topics. The shows before sounded like a circus outside Barnum & Bailey's.
The crazy truth.
I still can't remember the guy that – I remember I was producing the show for you guys, and the Pee Wee Herman guy that was outside by his car talking to the tow truck driver as the show was going.
Really?
Who was that guy? That was John's friend, the therapy guy, and he had a flat tire or something, and we kept losing him in and out. Oh, man, that was a funny show.
We've had some characters.
You remember that one, Eli?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think the guy was trying to do three things at once. Trying to pay the tow truck driver, talk on his cell phone, and do the show at the same time.
You have to wear many hats in your job, right?
Yeah.
You know what helped me more in my sports career and work career than anything else, Mark? Is I grew up on a farm. And if you want to have work ethic in people, put them on a farm.
Yeah.
Well, my dad was a sergeant in the Marines. I didn't go through the Marines, but I'll tell you, I had a hell of a work ethic installed in me at an early age. I mean, if you didn't want to work, you weren't eating that day. And if you talked back, you were getting a bar of soap in your mouth. So try to eat Italian salad after you had that in your mouth.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think what we've lacked is we're afraid to crack the whip and to make people accountable. And the problem is, if you're in charge of something, you're going to have communication in these weekly meetings. If people aren't stepping up, you've got to eliminate problems. If the problems are arising and people are bitching, or one guy's doing so much, or you're not a team player, then you need to be shown the door. And I know anything I do, I'm always looking at the better myself and help somebody else in any work I've ever got into. You know, if I see two people are doing something and I'm doing something else, I'm going to pick up a mop or something and wash the floor for them because I know they're busy. Now, everybody doesn't have that same mentality. You know, they figure, well, I'm done with my work. That's the dishwasher's job or whatever. That's this guy's job. The hell with it. Let him do it. Well, that attitude's got to change in a hurry. The last time I checked, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time.
And that should include the boss.
Yeah.
Know?
Yep. You're absolutely right.
The boss sets the tone. So if all the people who are higher up think they're in a separate class than what they actually do, what their business is, and they really just tell other people what to do, that really breaks down morale too. People don't want to work like that. But if you feel like you're on a team and you have to help each other out, makes a big difference.
Well, and not only that, with about 6 minutes and some change left in the show, I think you bring up an interesting point, Peggy, and I think it starts at home. I mean, when you look at teachers, and my daughter's a teacher, when you look at teachers, the parents can't control the kids, so they figure, well, we'll just send them to school, and the teachers will control them. Well, that's not the teacher's job. The teacher's job is to teach. They're not there to, babysit your kid if he doesn't want to do anything. It starts at home. And I think what's ended up happening today is, cost of living's gone up. Two parents are working. The kids are kind of raising themselves, and this is the attitude. And then you got everything else. The Miley Cyrus standing out there on a Grammy stage, wondering if she has any underwear on. So this is the influencers that are being influenced by these type of people, and they figure, oh, that's okay. I could be like Miley Cyrus and do my own thing too. So there's no mentors there is exactly what I'm trying to push forward here. There's no one to look up to. They kind of drift. You know, it's kind of like sitting in a tugboat and you don't have no rows and maybe it'll go to the north, maybe it'll go to the south, I don't know, east, west, and you just sit there and the boat just drifts. So there's no direction, there's no game plan, there's no inspiration, and that's the problem with what's going on in today's society. You know, people feel like, I'm not going to do anything extra because I'm not getting paid. The hell with this guy, I'll just slip out the back,
But why say goodnight to him?
You know.
I think another thing that's happening, though, is people after the pandemic realized that they could work from home, they could make their own business on the internet. And a lot of these influencers, people who came up, they had the bright ideas to come up with ways to make money other than the traditional work for the gold watch kind of thing, which, it's a whole different value system, I think.
Let me take one more comment. Lance from Pensacola, Florida says, the average people are two paychecks away from the streets. He's probably right.
One of the greatest problems I see is the tax burden on the middle class. The very wealthy get very little tax. The poor.
Trump pays $750 in taxes.
We get middle class get pummeled. You know, Chris, my deceased ex, said one time, she goes, I just don't understand how we could live on just my dad's salary. My mom didn't work. You know, my age people, your parents, your mom usually stayed home. I said, well, it's real simple. Tax burden was about 13% then instead of 37 it is now.
Wow. Right. And there's just so many things coming in.
That's
I keep saying this is definitely going to be the last one coming in. Alex coming in from Maryvale, Arizona, says, you want to talk about lazies? Last time I was in the market, I'm over here struggling to pull out my wallet and bag in my groceries at the same time while a checker is filing her nails. What kind of crap is that?
He is absolutely
right. And I will second that one and throw one up on, why are we paying 10 cents a bag when we're buying your product and we got to put your bag in the product to go? You should give us the bag for free.
You know,
oh, my gosh.
You have to do all your own bags.
Yeah, I've been in those places, and I had a buddy just went off on the checker. I had gone in another line, and he went into the line, and he must have spent $100, and groceries were all over. He was trying to scramble to pay for it and bag at the same time. Checker was just standing there, and he was holding the whole line, and he said, where's your manager, man? This is ridiculous. You're just standing there. I don't understand how somebody can stand there while a guy's fumbling to get his wallet out, and he's trying to bag his groceries at the same time, and you're over there doing your nails. You should be fired on the spot.
Well,
but you never know. Maybe the manager had rules about what they could do. You know,
yeah.
You can't do this and you can't do that. And
yeah,
I put my stuff in the bag, and I also divide them. I allocate the bag. If it goes in the freezer, it's in this bag. If it goes in the shelving, it goes in this bag. If it goes in the fridge, it goes in this bag.
Yeah, but you know, I can understand. You know, Alex's point, because it could be frustrating. I mean, it really is. I mean, you go in there, you've worked all day, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got somebody standing there. When you know there's a line behind you or something, at least help put the bags in. I mean, do you work in a hotel and you don't hold the door for an old lady coming in with a wheelchair? I mean, come on. I mean, what kind of people are we dealing with here? I've been in restaurants where you've waited 20 minutes and they'll come over and go, do you know what you want to eat? And I don't even have a menu. You know, it's something else. Hey, this show is getting over the 400 mark. Gosh, we got to wrap it up. Peggy, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we revisit next week and the day after Valentine's.
Oh, nice. Reach me on Facebook, Peg Palmer, how people...
She's fumbling her purse and trying to bag at the same time. Bear with her.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think that fast.
Hey, Eli, where can they get a hold of you, my brother?
You can look me up on Facebook as Max Raisovich, R-A-I-S-O-V-I-C-H. I'm the olive-skinned guy with the Fabio hair.
Well, the three of us keep holding it down, and we keep raising the numbers up. As far as the other two guys, one might be, you know, still in the cemetery. Captain Jet will find out where he is, and John could be at the assisted living or helping the other guy. Pee-wee with another flat tire. We'll find out next week, the day after Valentine's. Till then, have a blessed one. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for making us popular each and every week. Have a blessed one, guys. Go Niners.
Thanks for being listening.
See you, Peg. Yes, and thank you, listeners. Next week.
Sounds good.